Have you been watching videos from Hawaii? Molten lava eating up telephone poles and cars, destroying dozens of homes. And after you watch that, do you turn eastward toward Mount Rainier and Mount Baker and Mount St. Helens and wonder, could that happen here? Well, here to ease your fears or stoke them, we'll see, is Seth Moran. He is the scientist in charge, that's an official title, scientist in charge at the USGS Cascades Volcano Observatory. Welcome, Seth.
Good morning.
How worried should we be about a cascade eruption?
Well, I think we should all go about our days realizing that it can happen. And we know that from Mount St. Helens 1980 and Mount St. Helens 2004. And that those eruptions kind of came out of nowhere, where it was just kind of there. And then in the case of 1980, on March 20th, there was a magnitude 4. And then 7 days later, there was an explosion.
Was it literally, when you say out of nowhere, I mean, there had been rumblings and steam and stuff, right?
That was, it all started March 20th was the first earthquake. That was the first real sign that it was getting ready to go. And then 7 days later, that was the first explosion. And then from there, there were plenty of rumblings and explosions. But going from, you know, nothing happening to all of a sudden explosion, that was 7 days.
7 days. What kind of warning systems are in place today?
So for most of the volcanoes, we've got sort of adequate networks. Mount St. Helens has a great network. Mount Rainier has a good one.
What's a good network?
A good network. So Mount St. Helens has about 20 seismic stations, 20 GPS stations. That's one of the best networks in the world. Mount Rainier's got about half that, nine seismic, and that's not quite where we'd like it to be, but it's good for sort of basic monitoring. There's other volcanoes that are less good shape. Glacier Peak only has one seismic station, and we're working on plans and as resources become available, plans for improving that situation.
And the other two would be Baker and Adams. Those would be the five Cascade peaks that are active
in Washington.
In Washington State,
yes.
Right? And so, What would an eruption likely look like compared to what we're seeing with Mount Kilauea in Hawaii?
Yeah. So in the Washington Cascades, the eruption would be almost for sure very different. It would be like what we saw at Mount St. Helens. The lava that comes out of the ground is a lot stickier. And so it doesn't, flow quite as easily for one thing, and you don't get these beautiful fire fountains.
Fire fountains. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
Also that because it's sticky, it holds the gas in better, and so you can get a lot more buildup of pressure, and that can lead to more explosive type behavior. And so you could get ash clouds, and ash would go downwind, which is mostly towards the east, but on occasion, like we know from last summer when we had the fires coming in and got ash in the Puget Sound area, there are days when the winds can blow to the west. So that's one thing. Another thing that's actually quite different from Hawaii is that we can get volcanic mud flows, and that comes about with getting hot rock on top of snow and ice. And one of the things that makes the Cascade volcanoes so spectacular is that they've all got snow and ice on them, and Mount Rainier in particular. There have been a number of these large mud flows that in volcano speak we call them lahars, which is an Indonesian term, and there have been 8 or 9 of those in the last 6,000 years that have been produced mostly in association with eruptions that have reached into places where people are now living. And so that's very different from what the kinds of hazards that happen in Hawaii.
Yes. How much lahar warning would there be for people living near these Cascade volcanoes?
Right. So the most likely scenario is that a lahar would happen only when the volcano is restless or erupting. And so in that sense, there would be warning that the volcano is waking up, and then you would really start taking this lahar thing seriously. The last time, however, that Mount Rainier produced a large lahar 500-plus years ago, that was something called the electron mud flow that came off of the west side, Sunset Amphitheater area, and there is no geologic record of an eruption happening at that time. So that has sort of that scenario is that potentially that happened without any kind of eruptive warning, and potentially could have happened with no warning. It just could have been a landslide that happened. And there have been landslides like that elsewhere. Mount Meager up in Canada had a fairly decent landslide about 6-7 years ago. That just kind of happened. And so there is that potential. And we take that potential very seriously. We've been working with Pierce County the last number of years to put in a system there that's on the Puyallup River and the Carbon River in particular, but expanding it to other parts of Mount Rainier that is really geared towards the LAHAR detection scenario.
So I realize this, I assume this is very unlikely, but are you saying that theoretically the people in Enumclaw, Ording, you know, I don't know, Puyallup, big places near Rainier, theoretically there could be a LAHAR or a massive mud flow with no mountain waking up, no eruption warning, no warning at all?
Well, I think we have to acknowledge that that's a possibility, given this geologic record that there's been one without any geologic evidence of an eruption. And sort of, you know, it's I guess, you know, you don't want to get overly hyped on the worst case scenario, but it's important to take it into consideration, especially one that happened, you know, as relatively recently as 500 years ago. And so, you know, it's something that Pierce County has expressed interest in, and we're working towards that goal of being able to provide, you know, as much warning as possible of the event and of what's happening downstream.
In Hawaii, people were living in neighborhoods where lava suddenly erupted and destroyed homes. Is anyone living in a place where they could be hurt by sudden cascade lava?
Well, so again, you know, with this LAHAR scenario, it would not take that long for the LAHAR to reach into a large LAHAR for people to reach into populated areas. It would take something on the order of 40, 50, 60 minutes for it to reach into Ording, that much less time for communities that are closer, like Ashford, where potentially it could get there as little as 20 minutes. So that's sort of one end of the spectrum. In terms of lava, like what we're seeing in Hawaii with, you know, fissures opening up under subdivisions, that particular kind of eruption is not what we typically see in the Cascades, because the lava that we get here is a lot stickier and doesn't sort of flow out like that. And we also don't have
no
people,
fire fountains. As
yeah,
you said.
Not well. There are places, but not in Washington's a lot less likely. But mm-hmm. in Oregon, there's been a lot more magmas come out of the ground, or you know, over the last 100,000 years than in Washington. And if you go down into central Oregon and you look around the landscape, there's all these little lumps, and those are all cinder cones. All these little mountains, little lump-like mountains, mm-hmm. and those are all cinder cones that have erupted, like what is happening in Hawaii. And there's kind of a broad area where magma could come out of the ground again, and that area does include communities. And so there is the potential that that kind of thing could play out down there. It's not nearly as likely as it is in Hawaii, in the sense that eruptions in the Cascades aren't nearly as frequent as they are in Hawaii, but it's a place where it could happen.
And just to have a big city bias for a moment, Seattle, Tacoma, are they at risk from a LAHAR?
So the LAHAR, you know, in terms of the LAHAR itself reaching into downtown Seattle, that's not a very likely scenario were it to happen. But the impact of a LAHAR would be for sure felt up and down the Puget Sound for a long time. Even if the LAHAR itself kind of stopped at, like, say, Sumner, there'd be lots of flooding issues in the years to decades down the road, because there'd be a lot of sediment all of a sudden in this river valley, and that sediment has to move. And so it would be moving and making things pretty difficult for communities living downstream in terms of flooding, and that would last for a long time.
I saw that the unofficial Mount Rainier Twitter account tweeted, "Everyone go out and buy a gallon of water, a wind-up radio, all of the lava-resistant clothes you can find." Mm-hmm. What precautions can people actually, and like, we can prepare for earthquakes by stabilizing our buildings, but mm-hmm. there's no way to prepare for a LAHAR except to not live in Enumclaw, is there?
Well, it's, you know, I think with a lot of, you know, we who have chosen to live in this beautiful place, the Pacific Northwest. It's beautiful in part because it's an active landscape, and part of the shaping of the landscape are earthquakes, and part of it is volcanoes, and there's also floods and things like that. So I think it's important for people to be aware of the kinds of things that can happen where they're living, and what is the relative likelihood of those things, and you know, make sure that you're really making an informed decision about where you choose to live. And, you know, people can accept risks at different, have different ideas of what acceptable risk is. But it's really important to be informed. And the hard thing for me to hear about is people who are living in a certain hazard zone and they weren't aware of it. That's the real tragedy. And that's where our role really comes in, is to make sure people are aware of what could happen and also the relative likelihood.
What is the threat level for Mount St. Helens, which has been active in very recent years?
Yeah, so in terms of alert levels, all of the Cascade volcanoes are at normal green right now, and there's no sign that any one of them is really moving in any direction. Mount St. Helens is the most seismically active volcano that we have, and we see a couple earthquakes a day. Sometimes that goes up to tens, maybe hundreds a day, but we've kind of come to know that that's normal. In terms of sort of the threat side of things, threat or risk, sort of the same word, I guess, there's two parts to it. One is the hazard, which is what can happen, what does the volcano do, how frequently does it do it, and the other is the exposure of people to those products from the volcano. And so Mount St. Helens, most frequently active, it certainly scores high on that, but in terms of having people nearby, it doesn't have that nearly as much as, say, Mount Rainier. Mount Rainier's got a lot more people that are exposed should it erupt, although it's not as likely to erupt as Mount St. Helens.
Okay, so there's a bit of good news. Code green. No, the threat. We're at threat level green so far for all our Cascade active volcanoes, the big five.
Yeah.
Seth Moran is scientist in charge at the USGS Geological Survey Cascades Volcano Observatory. Seth, thanks a lot for all the information.
You're welcome.
We are, as Seth just told you, in an active landscape. Not so many fire fountains, though, as Hawaii. That's good to know. Thanks for tuning into The Record. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.